Today's daf is Masechet Sanhedrin, daf Samachet. We're holding actually at the two dots on the bottom of Samach Zayin Amud Beis, the last words there. So the Gemara now quotes the closing part of the Mishnah that we had yesterday, and the Mishnah tells us that Rabbi Akiva says you can have two people that are doing the same action. And Rabbi Yoshua explained it. He talks about how one of them is Ochezet Ha'inayim with the Kishuim, and one of them is actually doing the Kishuim. But the implications are that Rabbi Akiva was learning the dinim of Kishuv and how to do Kishuv from Rabbi Yoshua. And that is what concerns us here. Asks the Gemara of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yoshua, Gomila, did this whole sugya of gathering together these kishuim, the truth is that in the Gemara, kishuim are a reference to the universal magical thing. It's not cucumbers, but pumpkins, of course, gourds. Gourds are universally recognized as connected to kishuv anyway, which explains the popularity of pumpkins for Halloween. And what he was doing was collecting these gourds. Asked the Gemara, did Rabbi Akiva learn this sugya from Rabbi Yoshua? But Tanya, we have an entire story in a brayta. Kishechala Rabbi Eliezer, when Rabbi Eliezer became ill. Now the problem with Rabbi Eliezer was that unfortunately because of his insistence that he was mekabel halacha in a particular way and not following the way in which the rabbim had paskened, so they put him into nidui. And because of that, people weren't coming to learn from him, because you're not allowed to approach him. And when he became ill, the Chachomim came to be Mavakir. So Nichnas Rabbi Akiva v'chaverav levakro. Hu yoshev b'kinuf shelo. So there he is sitting in his canopy bed. And they were outside of the bedroom, heim yoshvim b'traklin shelo. They were in his living room. And they didn't want to even go into the bedroom, even though Lamaisa, he was in a different rishus, really. By being in the kinuf, they were afraid of bothering him at that point. And as he was approaching death, it was Erev Shabbos. And Hurkanus, his son, went in to take off his tefillin. Now Rashi understands this means Rabbi Eliezer's tefillin. The truth is that this is rather problematic because Lamaisa the Gemara asks in Moed Katan, it doesn't bring a riot from here about whether someone who is in nidui is supposed to be wearing tefillin or not. Does he have a din like an one? He doesn't wear tefillin, doesn't even mention this. There are those who learn that indeed it's not referring to his own tefillin, to Rabbi Eliezer, it's referring to his own tefillin. So Hurkanus went in to take off his own tefillin, according to that. And also, Mitosis has a little bit of a problem with it because he was only wearing the tefillin. He was very ill. He wasn't walking with the tefillin. So there was no mukta, really, that was the issue over here. Mitosis says that's not really a problem because once the Chachamim Aser wearing tefillin, Rosh HaRavim, so it already becomes a iser of wearing them because you're not supposed to be walking around with them. So they said, don't put on tefillin on Shabbos. Okay, so in any event, whether it was his own tefillin or his father's tefillin, he walks into the bedroom to take off the tefillin. And Rabbi Eliezer is goerbo, and then they just, get the heck out of here, you idiot. Yatzav and Zifan, he leaves the room, and I says, it's just, oh my God. So he tells the Chachomim that we're there. Amarlam lechavi rav. I think this is it. Kimedumani shadato shalaban nidrafai. I think he's lost his mind and he's about to die. And there's no point in going on. So Rabbi Eliezer overhears him. He says, my mind, it's you idiot and your mother. You're both of you are insane. Craziness. Taking care of me, worrying about my tefillin. Here it is, Erev Shabbos, before Lich Benchen. She hasn't lit the candles, but she's worried about my tefillin. Both of you are out of your cotton-picking minds. This is what you got your priorities really in order over here. I'm ashamed. Instead of worrying about Adlokas Neres, which if Chas V'Shalom she'll do on Shabbos, if it's a skila, everybody's all hung up about whether Dad's going to be wearing tefillin or not. Oh, man. Anyway, obviously he knew exactly what he was doing, so. Even after they saw that he was in perfectly good shape, so nichnasu, they come into the bedroom, but they kept a richuk of arba ames from him. anyway because of the niduin. So apparently the kila was not considered to be a totally different rishus. Still need rishus karbahamitz. Amar lahem, Rabbi Eliezer says to him, very interesting. So now you've come. Lama batem? So what, all of a sudden you've come? Omru lo lelmot Torabanu. Came to learn. Amar lahem v'yad akshav lama lo batem. And it's been a while. Why didn't you come? Omru lo lo ayalonu pnai. You know, we've been very busy. Amar lahem, they didn't want to say, or nidu it. Amar lahem, you know, you're so busy that I have a lot of doubts whether you're going to die a normal death. You're all going to die terrible deaths. To me, anim yamut mitat atzman. If you're planning to die on your beds, forget about it. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, what about me? Shalimahu. Amalo, you're the worst of them. Shalcha kashemi shalahem, you will have the worst death of all. Because you have the kind of heart and brains to be able to really have learned something from me, and now you lost it. Notal shtezer otav, he took his two arms, v'nichana libo, and put them on his chest. And Amar Oylachem Shtezro Tai Shem Kishtei Sifrei Torah Sheniglalim. My arms are like two completely closed Sifrei Torah. This says Meramis Tersh Balpet Tersh Biksav. Arbe Torah Lamadati. Arbe Torah Limadati. I've learned a lot of Torah and taught a lot of Torah. Arbe Torah Lamadati V'lo Chasarti Mirabotai Avil Kichelav Amalakek Benayam. As much as I learned, and the amount that I got from them was about as much as a dog who licks at the seawater, as much as he takes out of the sea. Arbe Torah limadati, and I taught a lot, and all that they've gotten out of me is just a little bit of coloring, like when you dip the eyeshadow, the brush into the tube. That's about how much they got out of me. Hello, do you want to know how tragic it is? I am such a bucky in the din of Maros and Agoyim. I know 300 separate halachas just in the din of Beheret. And you know what? Can you imagine? In my entire life, nobody asks me anything about it, and nobody gives a hand. Some say what he said was, I know 300 halachas, I'm saying, no, 3,000 halachas, in the dinim of Kishuv, just how to plant pumpkins. In the Tiat Kishuin, my whole life, nobody asked me anything about it, except for one guy. Chutz from the Zakiva ben Yosef character. One time we were walking together, Amar li Rabbi, Lamdeni b'detiat kishuin. Teach me the dinim of kshafim, so that I can understand how it is that they go about to actually plant pumpkins. Amarti davar, I said my magic words, nitmalak ala sadeh kishuin. The entire field became filled with pumpkins. Amar li Rabbi, okay, now limaritani netiatan, you've taught me how to plant them. How do you gather them together, akiratan? Lamdeni akiratan. Amarti davar achad, nitkapsu kolal makom echad. So, obviously, he was learning the dinim of Kishuin from Rabbi Eliezer, which is why we're bringing this whole story, because the Mishnah said he was learning it from Rabbi Yoshua. But we'll get back to that. First, we'll finish the story. So they said he had come to learn. So they asked him, Amrulo, what would be the din? Now, these were dinim where Rabbi Eliezer had paskened in Kalin. He had was chaylik on the chachamim and wanted to know whether he had changed his mind or whether he continued to hold what the din was that he had said in Kelim. So they asked him, "What's the din of a baseball?" Actually, they had a number of questions, which is all based on the same thing. So a baseball is made by stuffing the inside of a skin covering and sewing it up. So then that means that now there's no way to use it as a beit kibul; it's sealed. There's a number of things that work like that. That they are kelim, but they're kelim that are filled. So you have that. You have also an imum, even though there's some have a girsa imus. The girsa in the Mishnah is imum, and apparently that's the way it's supposed to be. So if you have a last, and the last is made the same way, you make a mold of the foot with a leather, and you fill it with the kind of things you'd fill a baseball, and now it's sealed. So, I mean, theoretically, it has a beit kibul if you were to open it on one end, but it's sewed, closed. on the other end. And there's also another thing they used to have like that. It was at Tzror HaMargalit. They had a refuah, type of kamiya that was used for curing animal illness. And they would fill up, again, a piece of leather, made a little leather bag, but it was sewed up. And they filled it with pearls. And they would also make, for very delicate weighing, where any scratch would change the weight of a thing, they would put the mashkolet inside of a leather wrapper, also sewing it up, mashkolet ketana. So there were two issues over here. First of all, is it mekabel tumah? Is it considered to be a beit kol? And furthermore, if it is, can you in fact be metaheret with the thing that's in it, or is the thing that's in it considered to be a tzitzit? This is a machlokas the Chachomim and Rebbe Eliezer. They came to ask Rebbe Eliezer if they're mekabel tumah. According to Chachomim, they're not mekabel tumah. There's also Ramazim, obviously, in the type of kelim that he was complaining that he doesn't have, I mean, which it's all sewed up and nothing's going in, and whether that is something that still has a din of a Beit Kibul. I mean, so there's an element of responsiveness of what it was they were asking to him, because Lishitasa, even though they may be dump cups and all wrapped up, but Lamaisa, they're still considered to be a Beit Kibul. And therefore, Mima Kabul Tuma. So he said, yes, they are Tumeim, Amarla Mein Tumeim, they are Makabul Tuma. And Taharatan, not only that, but if Lomaisa they became Tame, whereas even according to Chomim, if they were opened, so then the Chomim also made it their Mekabel Tuma. And Veitaina, as Rashi learns, Veitaina that what's inside of it is considered to be a Chatzitza. And I hold that Tara Tama Mashain, you could be Tevel it right there, it's not considered to be a Chatzitza. But Tosis learns that it's more than that. We don't find the issues of Gabi Chatzitza, but in Lagabe, whether what's inside of it is considered to be Torah or Tomei, does it remain Tomei or not? See, he held that the it's not considered to be Bechalal HaChibur, what's inside. Okay, but those are Kalim issues. So he argues, he continued to argue, and he says, Torah Tomei Mashein, you don't have to take out what's inside like the Chachamim hold. Then they asked him, and what is the din of a min'al, sha'al gabei ha'imum, if there is a shoe which is still on the last, but it's finished. So in other words, you did all of the final pulot on the shoe. However, it has not been removed from the last, so it's still in a position in which it appears to be a kli that is not yet usable, because it's not really mechusar malacha. But lamaisa, it's not ready to be used. So this is also a machlok. Is that considered to be that it nigra malachtam, even though it's not suitable for use because it's filled with an artificial wood, it's filled with the last, or not? Amar lam hu tahar. His last words were, it's tahar. V'yatza nishmato b'tahara. And so he died with the word tahar on his lips. Amad Rabbi Yeshua araglav v'amar hutar haneder. The ramatir, the neder, meaning the nidui that they had given him. Ba'ilam hazen and ba'ilam haba. So in any event, on Mitzray Shabbos, when they were doing the levaya, Pagaba Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva now met the Levaya Ben Kesari Lud. They were carrying him from Kesaria to Lud. And Ayam Makebi the Saroa Chidamo Shotet La'aretz. And he was tearing at his flesh until the point where he was literally bleeding, even though that's normally Seret L'Nefesh Zosser. However, Tosis points out that if the reaction is because of Terah and not because of a human death, and you will see from what he said that the point was his loss of Terah, that then it's Mutter. V'yamar, so Potach Alav B'Shura, when it came to the Hesped, and they were coming back now from the Kvura V'yamar, this is what we're going to be learning in the Tanakh very soon. We had it earlier in another context. Avi Avi Rechev Yisrael Uforashav Harbei Ma'ot Yeshli Veinli Shulchani La'aretz Otam. I have an awful lot of money that I have no way of changing at the bank, meaning I have a lot of klolim, but I don't have the details that I needed to learn, and now I'll never have anybody to explain it to me. In any event, after all of this story, is not clear that Rabbi Yeshua learned the dinim of Kishuv, particularly in terms of the Tiat Kishuin. And the whole question that he's malakit kishur, he learned it from Rebbe Eliezer. It was so meaningful historically that he learned it from him that Rebbe Eliezer is actually masker it on his deathbed. So how does the Mishnah ignore that and say he learned it from Rabbi Yoshua? Says the Gemara, he learned it from Rebbe Eliezer. But velo savra, he did not understand the various details of the dinim, which were, I mean, the whole point of Rebbe Eliezer was trying to now be machalik in the way that the Mishnah says, Yesh Naita that is Chayav, and Yesh Naita that is Potter. And he didn't get the details of the halacha to be able to understand how to paskin. Then, afterwards, he went to Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Yoshua was Masber, the various dinim, and Memela he considered that he had learnt it from Rabbi Yoshua. And the details of the halakas he said over for Rabbi Yoshua. So Memela the klal, he also said for Rabbi Yoshua in the Mishnah. Wait a minute, how did Rabbi Eliezer do Kishuv? This is weird. Hechi Avidok, I mean, this is like, just, you know, throws out over there. Oh yes, by the way, he was a great Mechashev, Rabbi Eliezer. I said my abracadabra, and I thought that's an Isra Skila. Vanan Tanan. Oh, Sema, Ser Chayav. It says you're Chayav Skila. The klal is that any of these dinim that are usr are only usr when they're being done in order to do them for their purpose. But lehitla mei chayne, you're allowed to do these things in order for someone to learn the dinim, and over here Rabbi Akiva was learning from Rabbi Eliezer. The Omar Mar lo tilmad la'asot. You notice that the Torah says, Feirish, you should not learn these dinim la'asot in order to do them. That's the pshat. There it's talking about the Tu'avot HaGoyimahim. But la'asot yata lamed, avlata lamed la'avinu la'harot. However, you are allowed to actually learn all of these details and be Isaac in them in order to be able to be Meira Halacha. So since Rabbi Yoshua was teaching now Rabbi Eliezer was teaching now Rabbi Akiva, therefore there was no problem in his teaching him Halacha Lamaaseh. Hagra Halach Arba Mitot Ben Sorer Umoret. Now we continue with the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah in the previous parak had listed in the Sefer the various dinim of the Niskalim. Who are the Niskalim? The last one that we had was the Ben Sorer Umoreh. So now the Ben Sorer Umoreh has a lot of prote dinim, which the Gemara now is miyached this sugya for. So the Ben Sorer Umoreh is a very unusual halacha, because the Ben Sorer Umoreh, first of all, is burdened with so many prote dinim that, as the Gemara points out, it's almost impossible for a Ben Sorer Umoreh to exist in practical terms. And indeed, there are those who say that there is no such thing, that it's only a halacha that the Torah gives to teach you the reality of the concept of a Ben Sorer Umoreh, not to actually carry out the din. As we mentioned yesterday, none of the dinim are meant as deterrents. They're meant as descriptions of realities to put into your mind a reasonable order of priorities of values. That's the idea. Because, I mean, again, anybody who doesn't want to be killed in Beis Din does not have to give them his life on a silver platter by saying, Amanat Kenan Yoseh, and so on. I mean, it's almost impossible, unless a guy is suicidal, to be Chayav Mitah. So obviously it's not a deterrent. So here too, the Ben Sorer Umoreh is not given as deterrent or as punishment, as we'll see. The Torah actually is doing a most unusual thing, in which normally we never see such thing in terms of din. And over here the Torah is warning you about the concept of a path, where somebody is going in a particular direction, as Officer Krupke said, he ain't no good. And that is going to end up in disaster. So you'll say, as the verse says later, he stole a little bit of money from his father's wallet. He buys a steak and a little bit of whiskey. I mean, because of that, he should be killed. But the point is, once he's on this path, it starts this way, but it ends up on heroin and killing people and having a drug habit that you need to support and so on. Better get rid of him young before he goes off completely and destroys himself and drags down others with him. So that the Torah is coming to define the nature of Zolil V'Soveh, and that there's such a thing indeed as a slippery slope. It doesn't mean that it's really possible to have such a thing. However, what it means is that this person is not being subjected to a din for what he did. He's being subjected to a brand new halacha, which is called Al Shem Sofo. Now, Al Shem Sofo may have completely different criteria than a normal din. So our first question is, and this is what the Gemara is going to immediately look at, is the age of Onesh relevant. I mean, normally we'd say if he's not an adult, so he doesn't get killed. But over here, the whole point is that we're not giving him an onesh. So then if the idea is to get rid of him before he goes off the derech, maybe we should start young. You know, 8 years old sounds like a good time to stone him. You know? So again, this is now our first issue of concern. So first of all, when does he become a ben sorer or morev? This is very strange. I mean, you call him a ben. So obviously he's a youngster. On the other hand, if we do apply elements of onesh here, so then if he's a katan, he wouldn't be chayev. So how is he both a ben and yet chayev? So me'ematai nase ben sorer or morev. So he has to be, says the Mishnah, we'll see how we know this, he has to be an adult. Mishi avishtei sarot, so he needs to have reached puberty. But since, as the Mishnah will say, he's not nichnas lechal mitzvot before puberty, it couldn't be referring stam to a child, because he's not going to be responsible. So then, what makes him a ben? What makes him a ben is that he has not yet fully come into his own sexual maturity. So we wait, achi yakif zakan, until such time as his beard, meaning hatachton, we're referring really to pubic hair here, velo elyon, we don't mean his beard, we want to use a euphemism. We're not going to talk about the details of where this hair is. But the difference between just beginning puberty with the shear of shtei sarot to a complete presence of pubic hair, that's the short period in which he could be a ben sorer or morev. Shenemar ki yeh le'ish bein. So first of all, bein means v'lo bat. But bein means that the man has a bein, but not that the bein is an ish. So he's a bein velo ish. And yet he needs to be old enough to be chayav. So that means, Tosfos says, that the sense over here must be, and we learn this out later, from ish, not in the meaning of, the technical meaning of adult, but ish in the meaning of his strength. So his macho-ness, his manliness. So as a manliness, we need to wait until he's fully mature. It's a very rapid period in which one day a child is a child, and you see him the next yontev, and who's that? So everything. This is what we're talking about during that period. And it can't mean a katan literally, even though a ben you'd say normally we mean a katan. A katan is patur shalom balechlal mitzvot. So we're left with this interesting interim period. Katan min nolan. How do we know that a katan is the potter? How do we know that a katan is potter? What? Wait a minute. Then just read the Mishnah. It says, Kirik tani taim, shalom balech lam mitzvot. So I understand what your question is. The Mishnah is saying that the point is he can't be a katan because a katan isn't chayav and mitzvot. What kind of dumb question is this now? How do we know that as a katan he would be potter after the Mishnah just told you? Not to mention the fact that if you believe that for some reason this is different. I mean, surely you're going to need a pasuk to tell you that it's different, no? So, I mean, if you have that difference, you can't come up with a svara. Well, must be your chayev. I mean, so let's say you'll tell me that he, in this case, you're chayev. But heicha hashkan dana shakatuv da'achli boy krala miftere. I say you're going to need a pasuk to tell me your potter. Even if there's a svara to be b'chayev him, you need a pasuk to be b'chayev him, not to potter him. So why are you asking me? How do we know that the katan would be potter? Well, what we're saying is, I'm asking you like, look, a ben sorer or morev is not killed because he sinned. Of course not. He didn't do anything wrong. So the whole point over here is to save him from a bitter end. So then, why is this nogea bechlal chiyuv mitzvot or onashim? We're not even talking about that. So then, what makes you think that bechlal you have a right to apply any of the normative ideas of bichlal mitzvot? That's not the point. It's a question of how socially the parents are taking care of this child. And that's why it's a mitzvah on the parents to bring the child to Beit Din, where they realize that he's yatsar bichlal shmita, and let society bump him off. So why, if the kimen hashem sofo nerak, afilu katanami? Not to mention, you're asking, well, wouldn't you need a pasuk? No, I wouldn't need a pasuk. This is the pasuk. Ben sorero more. You know how to read. What does a ben mean? I mean, doesn't a ben, it says, yella ish ben sorero more. Isn't that contrasting an adult, the ish, to the ben who's not the ish? The meaning of ben is mashma katan, no? Ben velo ish is katan mashma. Now you're saying, take it for granted. It can't mean a katan. And I'm asking you, why do we take that for granted? Don't throw the Mishnah at me. Where does that come from? Akiven dal shem sofon erak. It should be afilu katanami. Amr of Yud Amar Rav, what we're really basing this on, is the Amr Akra v'chiyyeh le'ish bein. The very fact that we say, instead of the, we're not talking about kiyyeh ben, we're talking about kiyyeh le'ish bein. In other words, what we're talking about is that there should be a bein who is korov to be an ish. Only that type of person is called a ben sorer umoreh. And that means he has to be a ben hasamuch legvurato shel ish. It's specifically the interrelationship between the ben and the ish that's important over here, which means that there are elements of maleness about him. So in other words, he's already reached puberty, but he's not quite a man. That's the point. All right, so then you say, and what is the shear of that? Just going on an aside first, what the shear is, and we'll get back to the diukim in the pasuk. The ad sheyakiv zakan, the shear is when his beard is fully wrapped around. And what we mean is hatachton velo elyon. Toni Rebbe Chia, ad sheyakiv atara. What this means is that the atara, I mean, there's no hair around the atara, we know what he's talking about. Ki atar of dimi amar, what he's trying to say is that we want to talk about hakafat gid. When we're talking about pubic here, we're counting over here the hakafa of the actual shaft, not of the testicles. Lo hakafat beitzim. He may have what you might call a full zakan tachton. That's not called a zakan tachton. Omer of chista. What's more is, and this is further diukim in the pasuk, katan shaholid ein beno naase ben sorer umoreh. If a child is born to a katan, now later on we're going to see it's a machloket, whether a katan can have a child, so then his child is never going to be shayach to being a ben sorer umoreh, because this is not an ish who had a ben. This is a ben who had a ben. And therefore it's not included in this pasuk. Shinemar kiya le'ish ben. Oh, le'ish ben. But lo, le'ben ben. Wait a minute. You just used this pasuk for the whole Rebbe Yonam Rav. That was the basis of the ben being somech le'gvurato shel ish, right? Is that the point of that pasuk? Why does it put together the ish and the ben in that way? To tell me that we're talking about a ben who's almost an ish. And now you're telling me, no, actually it means that there needs to be a ben to an ish. So it's not referring to the child, it's referring to the father. That's a completely different way of looking at it. Which one is the pasuk coming to tell me for? I mean, surely the pashtus is that it's Rav Yoram Rav, because it's referring to the child. I mean, that's the simple reading, the pasuk, not telling me a din of who fathered the child. No, he says, because the truth is the pasuk has it in two diukim. Im kein lemakra kiye ben leish. Okay, why does it say kiye leish ben? I mean, normally that's not the way you talk. If you're talking about the child, so then, and the point is that you want to make is the connection of the two. So then, just say when there was shall be a son to a man who is a zolel v'sovei and a ben sorer umoreh. I mean, that's the point. The way that you set it up, you're stressing the ish as if. What is the subject here? The father. I thought I'm not interested in the father. So clearly the pasuk is coming to address two different issues. So it's telling you, no, you must be interested in the father. Oh, so then maybe that's all it's telling me, no? So, imkein lemakrak, yeah, ben liish, maik yeh liish, ben shma min alek rif chista. To tell me a din in the father. That the father has to be an ish and not a ben. And indeed, that is the way the pasuk is set up. It's very strange. Oh, wait a minute, you know something, you're right. But then how do we know to make Rebbe Yoram Rav Shrasha? So this is actually a very reasonable way of understanding the pasuk. Ki yeh le'ish bein, I'm focusing on that because I want you to know that the one who conceived this child was an ish at the time. So maybe that is indeed the subject here of this pasuk. No, because there's a much easier way to say that, isn't there? I mean, it should have just said ben ish. We don't have to say yele ish ben. Say kiye ben ish, that is sorero more. And then I went, what do you mean ben ish? Elamai ben para. Kamash Rolan Shaviv has to be a gadol. It can't be a kot. And then we would know that drasha. And you don't have to go in with this whole extra lamet to say leish ben. I mean, it's very simple to say ben ish. Therefore, it's coming to tell me two different things. So first of all, it's telling me you have to have the ben that is leish. He is korov to be an ish. It's korov legvurato shel ish. From where we learn out that he's in this interim period. And we also learn out this other halacha, that the subject, nonetheless, is the ish, that the father has to be a gadol. Now this, obviously, this maimer of Rav Chista argues on Rabbah, because according to Rabbah, it's impossible. The Yomar Rabba Katan Eino Molid. We don't need a pasuk to tell me the din that if a katan has a child, that the child can't become a ben sereno more, because according to Rabba, a katan doesn't have a child. Shneimar. Where do we see this? In the story of someone who was Geza. This is a Geza Lager, which we use afterwards. Im ein le'ish go'el. So we ask over there, so what's the din when you pay him back? I mean, there's nobody to pay back, and that's how long it's given to the Kohen. So that we've asked, we see many times, v'yesh ha'dam yisrael she'en lo go'el. How's it possible not to have a go'el? A go'el means an heir. Everybody has an heir. It doesn't matter. I mean, it may be your cousin 1,000 times removed, but it's got to be that there's a ben le'yakov avinu, so that's your heir. V'yesh ha'dam she'en lo go'el. It's got to be talking about a ger. So there, the halacha is it's given to the kohen. Fine. So begezel agera katum medaber. Now note, says Rab, that it says imein leish goel. But if it's saying ein leish, could say ein lo goel. So why is it imein leish goel? To tell me that the only time you have to worry about whether he has a goel is if he is an ish. But if this ger is not an ish, he's still a katan. You're not mechuyev to even look and see whether he has a goel. Because he couldn't have impregnated anyway. So, there you'd have to find out whether he has goalim. But, katan, he clearly does not have goalim. So, if you have a ger, who's a katan, you don't even have to worry about it, and you give it directly to the kohen. You don't have to check for, if you're doing tshuva now, for having the nishpal sheker. So, you're magzir the gezel ager and the penalty to the kohen.
Can a katan be a ger?
Sure. It can be a ger. I'll be a beitin. It can be a ger. His parents brought him to be a guy, of course. All the time we do giur and katan. Yeah, okay, fine. But it doesn't change. That's only afterwards. He could change his status by throwing it out. But meanwhile, is it then of a ger? Now.
Yeah.
He's a regular ger. Why wouldn't he be? He's a Jew.
No, I'm just talking about katan in general.
Yeah, until puberty. That's the sign of puberty test. Eitei Abaye. Asks Abaye, what do you do about the potzik of ish ki yishkavet isha shichvat zara? So over there, the din is, we're talking about over there, the chiev of a korban by shivcha charufa. So then by shivcha charufa, it's a very unusual din. That he is chayev to bring a korban. She is chayev to the malchus. But in any event, she is now a shivcha who is harufa to somebody else. And it stresses ish. And we learn out from there, ein liela ish. How do we know a ben tesha shanim v'yom echad, shira'ui leviyah, that such a person is also chayev in the posik ish ki ish kavet isha shichvat zora, which the Rambam actually paskins halacha? Amazing halacha, everybody argues on him, of course, that a katan is chayef to bring a korban if he sleeps with a shivcha charufa. Not just that if he's ben teisha shanim yom echad, that the shivcha charufa is chayef. He's chayef. But anyway, it can't just be that the question of here is royal levia, because why would the puzzle go out of its way to talk about shichvat zara? What's the point of mentioning shichvat zara? Unless it's coming to tell me that this katan, indeed, even though he's not an ish, Talmud lomar ve'ish ki ish kafet isha shichvat zara. So the vav is now marbe a katan. So obviously we're saying that a katan does have the capability not only of the act of bia, but to be ba b'shichvat zara. And therefore, how can you tell me that a katan is not roi to have children? Why wouldn't he have roi to have children if he has sperm? Or Malay, he may have sperm, yeshlo, but it doesn't work. It's immature, veino molid. You never saw seeds of grain. You have seeds of grain that are still immature, lo yashlish, and you plant them and nothing grows. The same thing is true over here of a child's sperm. So what we're saying is shichvat zera, it has a din of shichvat zera, but does not have a din of the being able to be molid. And Mamela says, Rabbi, I don't need a putz, because I learned from Gezel Ager that I don't have to worry about such sperm causing conception. Mamela, I don't have to look for an heir. If I don't have to look for an heir, I don't need a putz that Reb Chista needs to teach me that if such sperm fathered a child, it's impossible. But I need a putz to tell me that he wouldn't be a ben sorer or more. Tana. The Vechizki actually brings it in a brayta. It says, V'chi yazid ish al re'eyu lahargoba orma. It's talking about murder. Very strange word, yazid ish. Of course, yazid has a double meaning. Yazid means cook. Mevushal, right? Yaakov Nazid, the whole story of Esau. So why do you say this strange? V'chi yazid ish. It's to tell me that only an ish can be yazid. Meaning he only an ish. Remember the word for mature. In Hebrew is the same word for stewed, which it is in English too, except you don't want to admit it. You know, once you're mature, you're stewed. But but the idea over here is that when something is bashil, even in modern Hebrew, it's mature, it's complete. So then we say ish is mazid, a man, meaning that he's now not a katan. He has mature sperm that's mazriah. But a katan may be mazriah, but he's not mazidu mazriah. So we goof or learn it out from there, which is precisely what it was that Rabbi was answering Abaye. And from here we see in this braita, a makor in the Torah, not just we're assuming it because we have the contradiction between the two halachas, but that's exactly what the remez is by the din of Ritzicha.
So at 9 he can have relations, but can't...
No, there's two different issues. First of all, we're talking about... that everybody is made of that. You could certainly, we'd say, have relations. I don't know what that means. It's a very nice euphemism. We're not interested over here whether he can have relations. If an infant can... If you're talking about can he have an erection, can he penetrate? Yes, that's not the point. But as we mentioned many times before, the Shiurim and the Torah define the nature of what took place. That's the idea. There's no magic of body parts. There's a particular halacha that the Torah considers to be intercourse. And anything that's not that halacha is not intercourse. We don't believe in sodomizing with brooms.
Right,
that's an idiotic Western conception, like we're interested in penetration. That's the disaster. That's not the point. That's regular assault and battery, like anything else. So if you use an immature penis as a broomstick, it's the same exact thing. It's assault and battery. It has nothing to do with sex. So that the Torah defines as the age of 9, not because of your physical capability. Then we have another issue, which does have to do with physical capabilities, and that is the maturity of sperm. So first we thought that a child who's not yet the ish, he's still a ben, but Chalal doesn't have sperm. That's what we thought Rabbah was saying. And therefore, we don't need a pasuk to tell me that if a cotton is meilid, cotton can't be meilid. So we ask him, it says, beferish by shivcha charufa, that he does have sperm. Answers the Gemara. Having sperm does not mean having mature sperm. So when we said that he can't be meilid, that can be absolutely true, even though to the eye, it looks as if he has the same zera, but it's not nizid. It's not mivushal. That means that, did I finish by the way this pasuk yet? No, I didn't. Sorry. Omerle Rabordachal Ravashi, my mashbud, I mezid, lishna bishule. Sorry. How do we know that indeed that word, mezid, is a lotion of maturation or mevushal? Tiva Yazed Yaakov Nazid. And that, of course, was on the day that they became bar mitzvah, the whole thing, you know. Relates directly to. So it's a double remez in the svara. No.
Nine years old is not based on anything physical.
It's just based on the Torah. It's a shir in the Torah. And the question of, obviously, of being able to bring conception is a physical issue.
Even as a kid, I mean, when I grew up, there was a kid who was there before he was 10, got to 6 feet tall, reached full puberty and everything like that.
Right, so doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter that if I ate, he could probably do whatever.
Right, doesn't matter. As far as the Torah is concerned, it doesn't matter. It's not a sexual act, even though it looks, in Western terms, like a sexual act. It's irrelevant. Says the Gemara, oops, I didn't press anything, right? Omer Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Yoshua, Shomer Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi from Rabbi Yoshua, Gomer Lava, Tanya. Kishakala Rabbi Yazan Echas, Rabbi Akiva, Kabirov Lavakro, who Yoshim Bekin of Shiloh, and Yoshim Betrakin Shiloh. Votu, Ayomer of Shabbat, Ayavinich Nasukin is Benola, Halots to Filav Garbo, Yatsabin is Ifa, Amalam Lakaver Voivavoivavoi, Kamadumani Shadator Shalab and Nitrafa. Amalam like hell, that Tova, that Imo Nitrafa. Echmanichim is a skill of Elskim is a Shlos, you idiots. Kivan Sharuch Hachamim Shitato Miyushevet Alav. Boy, I'd hate to see him when his das wasn't Miyushev. Nichnasu Miyashvulafanav Brichu Karbamot Amar Lehum Lama Batem Omru Lo Lilmot Torah Banu Amar Lehu V'yad Akshav Lama Lo Batem Omru Lo Hayalanu Pnai Amalam tamei ani miyamut mitat atzman. Amal Rabbi Akiva sheli ma'om shachak Hashemi shalahem. Natal shtei zroatav nichana libo v'amar oy lachem. Shtei zroatay shem ki shtei zivrei Torah shniglalin. Arbei Torah lamadati, arbei Torah limadati, arbei Torah lamadati. V'lo chasarti mirabotay afilu kechelev hamlakek minayam. Arbei Torah limadati. V'lo chisruni talmidai. Ela kemikol b'shvofer. V'lo od. אלא שאני שונה שלוש מאות הלכות בבהרת עזה, ולא היה אדם ששואלני בהם דבר מעולם. ולא עוד אלא שאני שונה שלוש מאות הלכות, וצמצים עם 3,000 הלכות. בנטיית קישואין, ולא היה אדם ששואלני בהם דבר מעולם, חוץ מעקיבא בן יוסף. פעם אחת אני והוא מלכין היינו בדרך. אמר לי, רבי, למדני בנטיית קישואין. אמרתי, דבר אחד נתמלא כל השדה קישואין. אמר לי, רבי, למדתני נטייתן, למדני עקירתן? אמרתי דבר אחד, נתקצו כולם למקום אחד. אמרו לו, הכדור והאימון והכמיה והצור המרגלית ומשקולת קטנה מהו? אמר להם, הן תמאים, וטהרתן במה? וטהרתן במה שהן. מנהל שלגה באימון מהו? אמר להם, הוא טהור ויצא נשמתו בטהרה. אמר רבי ישראל רגליו ואמרו, טהר הנדר, הוא טהר הנדר. למוצאי שבת פגע בו רבי עקיבא מן קיסריה ללוד, היה מכה בבשרו עד שדמו שוטט לארץ. פתח עליו בשורה ואמר, אבי אבי רכב ישראל ופרשיו, הרבה מאות יש לי ואין לי שולחני לארצותם. אמר מרבי אליעזר גמרה, true, גמרה מרבי אליעזר, אבל לא סברה. הודה גמרה מרבי יהושע ואז ברא ניאלי. איך יעביד אחי רבי אליעזר? ונתן עושה מעשה חייב, להתלמד שייני. יום אמר, לא תלמד לעשות, לעשות היא אתה לומד, אבל אתה לומד להבין ולהורות, הדר לך ארבע מיטות. בן סורר ומורה, מי אם אתה נעשה, בן סורר אומר, מי שבי שתי שערות, ויד שיקיף זקן, we're referring to התחתון ולא העליון, אלא שדיברו חכמים בלשון נקייה, שנאמר, כי יהיה לאיש בין, בין ולא בת, בין ולא איש, and it couldn't be a cotton, because a cotton is פטור, שלא בא לכלל מצוות. קטן מנהלן זה פטור, מנהלן כדקטני טיימה שלא בא לכלל מצוות, ותו, איך אשכן דיונה שכתוב דאחה ליבו יקרא למפטרה, נען אחי כאמרינה, אותו בן צורר ומורה על חתו נהרג, על שם סופו נהרג, כיוון די על שם סופו נהרג, what's the difference how old he is, the younger the better, no? אפילו קטן נעמי, ועוד, you're asking me, but the pasuk has to say so, does say so, it says בן, בן ולא איש, זה פשטס, זה קטן משמע. אמר רבי יונה אומר עבדי, אמר קרוב חילי איש בן, בן הסמוך לגבורתו של איש, ועד שיקיף זקן התחתון, תוני רבי חייה, עד שיקיף עטרה, כי אתם יודעים, אמר, what he's referring to is הקפת גיד, לא הקפת ביצים. אמר רבי חיסטה, קטן שהוליד, אין בנו נעשה בן צורר ומורה, שנאמר כי יהיה לאיש בן ולא לבן בן. Wait a minute. עתק מבואי לילך רביון המרב, that he has to be סומוך לאיש, אב אם כן למקרא, כי יהיה בן לאיש, מהי כי יהיה לאיש בן? שמע מן הלך רב חיסטה, סדן נעים בכולו לאוכי יודי עתה, נענה, because it's an easier way to say just that, אם כן למקרא, בן איש, מהי לאיש בן? שמע מן התארטה, now this הלך רב חיסטה, the cotton can have a child, is פליגת הרבה, דיום הרבה קטן אינו מוליד anyway, שנאמר אם אין לאיש גואל, ויש לאדם בישראל שאין לו גואל, אלא בגזל הגר הכתוב מדבר, note that אומר רחמנה איש, that's to tell you that איש אתה צריך לחזור עליו אם יש לו גואלים אם לא, but קטן אתה צריך לחזור עליו, וידוע שאין לו גואלים. את ואבאיה, it says איש כי ישכב את אישה שכבת זרה, and we learn on over there, אין לי אלא איש בן תשע שנים ויומכת שראוי לביאה, how do we know that that's called שכבת זרה? Talmud Omar, ve'ish. Amalei, I never said he doesn't have shechvat zara. Yesh lo. But eno molit. Like tfuah shalui v'yashlish dami. Devei chiz ketana v'chi yazid ish ish mazidu mazriya. Ve'in katan mazidu mazriya. Amalei, Rav Mordechai l'Ravashi, mai mashmad ha'im mazid is a loshon de bishulayu. Dechtiva yazed Yaakov nazid.